the mystery of answered prayer. What does it take to receive answered prayer? I mean, you can ask God to bless you, and God will bless you and give you a gift, an operation. He blesses in many ways. But there's this one operation I'm seeing of praying directly to the Father and receiving directly from the Father of a heavenly inheritance transferred into the earth. And that goes beyond the blessing realm. That gets into the realm of inheritance, and it gets in the realm of consistent answered prayer of the Father. Specifics, say specifics. And God wants to not only bless us, God wants to provide for us, and He wants to get our whole life in His kingdom. He wants to get everything we have and everything we'll ever have under His kingdom, the umbrella of His kingdom. And to do that, we're going to have to understand how the Father works. Amen? How the kingdom works. The kingdom, or look at your neighbor and say, the kingdom is a mystery. Amen. There's certain things that you're going to learn very early in the kingdom, certain operations, and what you find is certain operations give way to new operations. Just like certain movements, you can't keep beating a dead horse, amen? If the movement's over, quit trying to live in it, amen? The worst thing you ever do is be in a movement that's dead and you're still trying to move in it, amen? I mean, there are people still trying to live in the Toronto blessing. Everywhere they go, they're shaking about that movement's over. There's certain things that are going on. I have nothing wrong with the Toronto blessing, but I'm telling you, you just can't go live in it. And then people are still trying to get back to that. Get back. Listen, God's moving on. You got, the key is not getting back. It's moving on. Amen. God's ever progressing. He's ever progressing into glory. And because He wants the full age sons of God and the daughters of God to rule and reign with Him in the earth. To do that, it's going to require equipping and training. To do that, it's going to require that we learn. We have to sometimes get back into the school of the Spirit again, amen? Get back in there and learn of Him, because what used to work might have worked for that realm, but we're in another realm. And that new realm requires new level of operations. There are operations for 30-fold ministry that doesn't work in 60-fold ministry. There's operations of 60-fold ministry that does not work in 100-fold ministry. Amen. Praise God. And then the last sentence you want is because God's going to call you out by faith. He's going to keep calling you to go out further and further with Him. It's like the children of Israel. They're marching around. They didn't even know where they were going. They were just following a leader named Moses. 3 million people. How'd you like that responsibility? Going somewhere. Where are we going? I don't know. I'll let you know. I'm on a need-to-know basis. We're following that cloud over there. So wherever it goes, that's where we go. Amen? And the tendency is they want to turn around and go back to Egypt. Amen? It's amazing to me how God brought them out with signs and miracles. And read how many times they want to turn around and go back. The pull of Egypt, even though they were under hard bondage and labor and toil, just for their necessities, they didn't like getting out there. They got tired of supernatural provision. They said, let us go back to Egypt. At least we'll have something to eat there besides this manna. They finally started asking for meat, and God rained quail on them until they started throwing it up. I mean, the pull to go back sometimes is so strong, we have to go forward. Amen? We have to keep moving forward, because that's where all the glory is. That's where our future is. Amen? If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. Say amen. Amen. So, I'm going to try to remember some of these things that you were sharing with me today. So, we'll look at James 1, verse 5. And God answered a really powerful mystery for me yesterday. Say, if any of you lack, just, you can put anything there, if you lack. But the most important thing we need is wisdom when it comes to understanding the kingdom. This is kind of wisdom is not, you're not going to learn this kind of wisdom in school. This is kind of wisdom will teach you about a kingdom that's not of this world that God wants to invade this world with. The Father wants to invade this planet with a kingdom, and He's going to do this in the last hour in unprecedented manners. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack provision, if any of you lack healing, you can put anything here, because He's going to give some very powerful principles here of receiving from the kingdom. He said, let him ask of God. Amen. The Father. Now here is the heart of God. No matter what you feel, no matter what someone says, no matter what your circumstance dictates to you, no matter what your situation dictates to you, no matter if you have been serving God for 50 years and you can't get groceries on the table, it doesn't matter. This is God right here. Right here. That giveth, say giveth, to all men liberally. He giveth liberally. God is liberal. He's not a liberal. He's just liberal. Some of you got that. God's not a liberal. He is just liberal. Amen. Come on. Where's your sense of humor? He giveth to all men generously. You're going to have to know that when it comes to, because see, you're being, what God asks is you to believe him and receive from him. He's an invisible God with an invisible inheritance. That's not seen, recognized with a natural eye. That's not seen with a natural senses. You can't touch it with the natural senses until it actually manifests, but you have to believe it until it does manifest. It's not like Thomas, you get to touch him. Unless I touch him, I will not believe. Unless I see, I will not believe. Jesus said, look, Thomas, now, here it is. Put your finger. And they tell him that. He said, Thomas, look. See, we're not like, we have to believe. Blessed are those that believe without seeing. Amen. That's the kingdom God requires. Now, there is a way to see the kingdom. The way you see the kingdom is God opens the eyes of the heart. He gives you revelation from his word that gives you, that opens an invisible kingdom, allows you to see things you wouldn't see before. Amen. Amen. So God is liberal. He's generous. Say generous. He's abundant. He giveth abundantly. He giveth liberally. He giveth generously. That is his heart. Amen. Our God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory, Psalm says. And no good thing will he withhold from you. Say no good thing. No good thing. He that spared not his only son, how shall he not by way of him, through him, by him, freely give us all things. Say all things. That's his heart. That's his nature. Amen. He says he giveth, he abradeth not. That word abradeth means that he does not hold you in fault. He doesn't fault find while you're trying to receive from him. He's not inspecting your life and judging every part of your life like, when to you're perfect, I won't give it to you. He doesn't do that. He's not holding faults over you. He's not holding you in a state of fault and looking at your fault and saying, well, when you get this fixed, I will think about it. He doesn't do that. He's free. He's generous. He's full of grace. He rained manna on the children of Israel even when they were in disobedience. That was a massive amount of grace. Remember the time that they created the golden calf? The next day, he rains manna. The next day. Amen. He did swallow up the sons of Korah, but the rest of the people, he rained the manna down. Back then, the only way God had dealt with sin, he just swallowed them up and said, move on now. Don't you think, God, we're in the age of grace right now? Verse 6, let him ask in faith. Say in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. That word waver means to disconnect. Let him ask in faith without disconnecting from the process. Without staggering. Without turning back. Another translation is turning back. In other words, I'm going to believe God. If you're going to believe God, it's very important that you stay with him through the whole process, because you're going to have ample opportunity to turn away, get disconnected, get distracted. When you're going to believe God, you're going to have to stay with it all the way through it until manifestation. You got to learn of him and learn how he does it, because the enemy is going to surely try to distract, disconnect, get you to turn away. He's going to offer you something else. That's why he comes in the next verse, in verse 8, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He that wavereth or disconnects is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind. He says, a double-minded man. Say double-minded. The Lord said, I want you to look that up. And I looked it up, and I looked up the New Living. I'm not a fan completely of the Living Translation, but sometimes they get it right. Praise God. This one, they really nailed it. Listen to this. This is what double-minded means. It says, their loyalty, say loyalty, is divided between God and the world. And they are unstable in everything they do. In other words, I'm trying to receive from the Father. Listen, what do you think He's going to do? They're trying to, God's trying to provide for the children of Israel out in Egypt, out in the land of, in the wilderness. He's trying to provide for them and they keep wanting to go back to Egypt. They're getting supernatural manna raining down on them. They're being led by a cloud by day and fire by night. And they're still wanting to go back. They want to go back to a brickyard. There's a strong pull. Once you've come out of the world system, it doesn't want to let you go. God wants to get us disconnected from the world system and get us onto the kingdom. And get us onto understanding how the kingdom of the world will not let you go. And there's a battleground there. Usually we just lose. We just give up. If you give up, the world will pull you like a rubber band. You get stretched out there with God, you let go, and the world will snap you back in. And there's a pull. It's an invisible pull. You don't recognize or understand it, but it's everywhere. It wants you to be a product of its system. It wants your allegiance. Think about it. Even our educational system, even today's college is not like what it used to be. Today's college, you're coming out pretty much guaranteed, unless you're fully blessed, about $150,000 in debt. That cannot be erased. It cannot be forgiven like credit card debt. It won't be forgiven. It'll stay with you all your life. The enemy wants his system. Everything we do is debt driven. Everything. Debt. It's amazing to me, as soon as you get your credit right, how many offers will come to you left and right, in the mail, on the internet, unsolicited offers. They'll come from everywhere, giving you free interest. They know. How many of you ever get those zero interest? They're good if you're already in debt. But they get it free. Hey, buy, spend. Hey, you want to build your credit? Purchase, but don't go paying it off. They teach that. They said, don't pay it off. You want your credit score to be really good. Don't pay it off. Pay it off in segments. Make minimum payments. Yeah, they want that interest. It's a system. It's all driven by debt. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm trying to get us liberated from it. God's trying to get us liberated from it. Into a system that He provides freely without the toil, without the labor. Amen. A man divided whose loyalty, the enemy's going to try your loyalty. When you start believing God, He's got 1,000 ways to offset you. You have to develop a skillful eye of wisdom and understanding to stay with God. That's why He said, if your eye be single, interwoven with Christ, you're going to be full of the light of the kingdom and you're going to receive from that kingdom. If your eye be torn or full of toil, hardship, labor, all of that system's going to pull you back. Amen? And you're going to end up struggling. The financial struggle is one of the number one struggles in all of life, church and in the world. Mammon wants to see to it. It's one of his strongest things. And God wants to fully liberate us from that struggle. Amen? Can somebody say amen? But to do that, we're going to have to understand how this kingdom works. If it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. Amen? It's not a matter of whether it's easy or not. It's more of a matter of understanding. Look at your neighbor, say understanding. There are certain things about the kingdom and the way it operates that we have to understand how to receive and operate with it. Amen? And we're getting really close. We're there. I'm not going to say we're close anymore. We're there. We're there. Hallelujah. Now faith is. So I want to share something. Go to John. Back into the Upper Room Mysteries. Been in there a year and a half. Can't seem to get out. There's so much in there. God, it's so amazing to me how He could one night release these revelations to 11 men. And it's taken us years to understand what He said in that one 2 or 3 hour period that He unloaded some of the most incredible mysteries in the entire Word of God, the two things that he's promised, there's actually three, the mystery of abiding, the mystery of answered prayer, the mystery of the Lord's mantle. All of that is in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. The mystery of his own mantle, the mystery of answered prayer with the Father, and the mystery of union with the Father. All of that's in those chapters. Isn't that amazing? How to do it, how to receive from the kingdom, how to receive from the Father. He gave it to those apostles to release to the world. Now, there's a scripture here, but actually before you go to John, run over to Mark 11 real quick. Mark 11, Jesus answered him and said, have faith in God. That's a big one. Have faith in God, not the world, not the system, not in you, not in your gift, not in your own sufficiency. Anything that you have faith based on that's not in God can be tried by the enemy and taken down by the enemy. But if your life is built on God and faith in him, the enemy cannot touch it. Amen? You cannot move it. You become immovable. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever. Don't you love the way he open-ended that request like that? Jesus specifically open-ended that operation at what things soever you desire. He left an open-ended invitation to pray to the Father, an unlimited God. Amen? He did not limit that prayer. I heard Bill Johnson say that. He said God specifically did not limit this to human limitation. He left an open-ended invitation to pray to a Father that's unlimited, to a kingdom that's eternal. Isn't that glorious? Whatsoever. What's in there? It's whatsoever. And that's not the only time he said that. He said that when you pray, not if you pray. Say when you pray, believe you receive. That word believe is the same word for have faith in God. It's the exact same word. Believe, have faith. To receive or exercise, when you stand praying, after you've asked, you're going to have to. Now listen to me, because I'm fixing to show you something here tonight that took me 3 weeks of plowing that you're going to basically get free. And it's a major, major understanding. It says, when you pray, when you ask God, now you're going to get in receiving mode. Amen? Because God is spiritual. The Father is spiritual. Amen? God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at your skin and pinch your skin. God does not transact in this physical realm of touch, taste, feel, sight. Any natural senses you have, God the Father does not transact in natural senses. Holy Ghost does. Father doesn't. When you're asking of the Father, he transacts in the spiritual realm. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He put it there for a reason. He didn't do it here in the natural. The enemy would have stolen it. The enemy's the God of this world system. He put it above the enemy. He put it in a spiritual state, made you a spiritual being, recreated your dead spirit into life, and gave you access. Say access. To the inheritance. That's why you're a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in what? Light. He's giving you access to an inheritance. The enemy never, it's amazing to me. I'm like, God, does your church anywhere ever teach anything about what's up there? Everything's about working down here, operating down here. Everything's there. The Father transacts in the Spirit. Holy Ghost, he has this marvelous ministry working with the Lord Jesus. He takes what's spiritual and manifests it, materializes, demonstrates it, performs it. He performs it and he materializes the spiritual into the natural. He takes the water and makes wine with it. He takes the virtue, which was spiritual dunamis power in the Lord Jesus. He pulled it out of the Lord and then he creates miracles with that virtue. With that dunamis, he's the one that does that. He takes the spiritual inheritance, riches and glory, riches of the grace, the invisible dunamis, and he causes visible manifestations to that which is invisible. Isn't that awesome? But you got to get that stuff down here for him to do that. Amen? It's up there. Can everybody at least agree that it's up there? Amen. All right. You got to agree, you got to see it, but we got to get it down here. So when you pray, you're praying to a Father. Now we're about to get into the name of Jesus. He says, when you pray to the Father, have faith or exercise faith to receive, and then you what? shall have. Say receive, shall have. Two different things. Why? Because you're going to receive something from the Father. It's called invisible. It's dunamis. It's riches in glory. My God shall supply what? All your need according to what? His riches in what? Glory somewhere else, riches and glory, they're spiritual. He's going to supply a natural need with a spiritual inheritance, but you got to receive it. Look at your neighbor and say, got to receive it. Got to receive it. And once you receive it, then you what? Shall have it. You can't shall have till you receive. We're trying to shall have before you receive. Can't do it. God's not going to bypass his own system. That's a miracle when he does that, by the way. When God excludes you from the process, the definition of a miracle is God excluding you from the process and you're benefiting from it. That's a miracle. He completely excludes you altogether and he creates a miracle on your behalf that bypasses you and you cannot live by miracles. Anybody ever tried to live by miracles? If you ever get a miracle, you might as well enjoy it because it might be a while before another one comes along. Amen? The just shall live by faith. Say by faith. Amen. So we receive, we have faith, we exercise faith to receive. All right. Are you with me? All right. Now go to John. Now I'm going to get into the revelation. Go to John 16. Five different times the Lord says something in this book that he doesn't say anywhere else. He says it in these chapters. These are the upper room mysteries. John 14, 15, 16, 17. By the way, be celebrating Passover, celebrating all that. That's the celebration. And that's when right before he went to his crucifixion, the night before his crucifixion, which is this Friday. That's when we celebrate it. Don't come to me with your dates and you done figured out that it's not this actual resurrection. It's another day altogether. Don't do that. Praise God. We're going to celebrate the resurrection on Sunday. On Friday was crucifixion. That night before he was crucified is when he had this Passover with him. He celebrated Passover with them in that upper room. And they had communion with 11 apostles. And the words he released in John 14, 15, 16, 17, he released to 11 people, 11 men. Even Judas was there, and he had to wait till Judas left before he released the revelations. They are the revelations of the ages. There's so much here. Thank you, Father, for these mysteries. More importantly, that we're having understanding of them. They're so mistaught and so misunderstood. But when you understand what's in here, it's amazing, the depth of it. So the Lord begins, he's teaching. I'm going to pick it up right in the middle. Go to John 16. I mean, right smack in the middle. Hallelujah. He introduces this concept to them that they don't have a clue what he's talking about. There's no way they could know what he's talking about. Because he hasn't even gone to the cross yet. He's not even been resurrected yet. He's not even received the inheritance. But he's telling them how this is going to work. Amen? It's amazing. In John 16, he says, verse 23, verse 22, you now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and your joy will no man take from you. He said, you're having sorrow because he's telling them I'm going to go away. But listen, you're going to see me again. Not with those eyes, but they actually were going to see him through the resurrection. But he's talking about you're going to see me in the Father. I'm going to introduce you to the Father. He says, in that day, you'll ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father. Say, ask the Father. Now notice he puts this, no other writer puts this. He's the only one that does this. He says, you'll ask the Father in my name. He didn't even say that in the Lord's Prayer, that you'd pray in my name. But he's telling them, this is how this is going to work now. I'm going to tell you how this kingdom's going to work. You're going to have to ask the Father in my name. That's the revelation I got yesterday. He says, you're going to ask the Father in my name, and he will give it to you. Amen. So he says, when you stand praying, exercise faith to receive. So here's what I was doing. He says, you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Now, it's important in this process that you actually agree with him, even if you don't know how to receive. You need to learn to receive, and you do need to agree that you can receive, because the enemy is going to try to convince you that you cannot receive from the Father. He's going to try to convince you you're going to live a fruitless life of prayer. That's what he's going to try to do. Because he wants you to give up on the prayer process and get back into his process called works. He wants you to let go of the Father and get back over here where you belong, basically. That's what he wants to do. He's going to fight the connection. He's going to fight the operation. He's going to fight the revelations. He's going to fight everything about it, because he never wants you to understand that you've been born into an unlimited kingdom and you can receive from it. He wants you in his kingdom. He wants you to do things his way. Works, labor, toil, harassment, heaviness. He wants you to toil for everything. It's amazing. Don't ever underestimate that spirit. God liberated them from it in Egypt, and they wanted to go back to it. They wanted to go back under Pharaoh's bondage just so they could go work all their day for straw and provision for their food. They wanted to willfully go back to that after God set them free with miracles, signs, and wonders. They never knew the God of miracles that were performing them. Never underestimate that spirit to want to pull you back. God wants to liberate. He said, "Hitherto to you, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive." You know what I say now? Father, I can receive. I am a receiver and you're a rewarder. I am a receiver. I'm a professional receiver. Father, I can receive. You said I could receive. Over and over again, ask and you will receive. Amen. In the kingdom, you're going to have to learn to receive freely. That's not an easy thing to do. It sounds easy, but it's not. Because the enemy's going to try to interject things. You're going to try to interject. You're going to try to help him out. There's a lot of stuff that gets in the way. Amen. Sometimes people can't even ask God because they don't feel worthy to receive. Now notice what he said in verse 14 here. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name of the Father. Ask. No, he said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Then he says, ask. And then he says, what? What's he say? And you shall receive, and what? Your joy, say your joy, will be made full. Wouldn't it be amazing if we prayed and God answered and our joy is full? And, oh my God, I know this God that answers my prayer. You would be quite a peculiar being. There's a lot of people blessed that say the blessing of God's on them, and there's no doubt the blessing of God's on them, but that doesn't mean that they have answered prayer. Do you understand that you can live a whole life with the blessing of God on you and never know how to actually pray to a Father? There are people that have the blessing of God on them. They got a gift on them. I mean, they got a gift in this day and hour, and even in the ministries today and hour, you can have a ministry that can get highly blessed, but still not know how to actually receive direct from the Father. This is a whole nother level we're talking about right here. This is the guy that we were talking about the other day, George Mueller and Reese Howells. These guys could pray for modern day multi-million dollar operations for their orphanage and for their ministries without ever telling a single word to anybody. They didn't have 1,000 partners out there. They didn't have 100,000 partners out there. They didn't go share their vision and raise the money, but God would bring them multi-million dollars, bring it to them. They understood how to operate in a kingdom that wasn't of this world. And they learn how to believe. Even, I mean, George Mueller, he had these orphanages, and he never would tell anybody his need. And he had this thing with God, and God would bring it in to him. Heaven and earth, but he had a principle he lived by. I will never tell another soul my need. And that's good if you understand how to believe God. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to starve. There's a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. If you don't have that kind of faith, you'll starve. You got to understand how faith works. Amen. So he said, you'll ask and your joy will be made full. God wants us to live a life of fullness of joy with answered prayer that's beyond what we can do. Listen, there's a lot of things that our income provides for us. There's a lot of things that we can do that provides for us. There's business, but God wants to provide from a realm that's not of this world. To do that, we're going to have to understand how that works. Amen. That's what we're after right now. This is what God wanted to give you, a relationship. Lord wanted to give us a relationship with the Father that would cause answered prayer in our life. Wouldn't that be amazing? The liberation. Because today and hour, when we want something, we got to think about, okay, I got to get this education, got to do this, got to do this, so I can have this, this, and that. That's the way we think. It didn't even occur to us that God could actually do this for us. Well, yeah, I understand God's a big God and all that, but you know, God blesses those that bless themselves. Where will you ever find that in the Bible? Find that scripture for me. How many times is that quoted? God helps those who help themselves. Find that scripture for me, please. Somebody. God will bless those that bless themselves. If you can bless yourself, you don't need Him. In fact, what He did say, if you could humble yourself as a what? Little child, you'd be the greatest in the kingdom, because you'd understand as a little child, the ultimate level of humility of a little child. It cannot clothe himself, it cannot teach himself, and it cannot feed himself, and it cannot provide. It's ultimately dependent on the parental figure. Now, on a full-age adult, that's real hard to get back into that position. To pull myself back in that position from my father, why? Because I can do things. I do know how to do things. I can provide. But God says, yes, but I can provide too, much greater than you can. But to do that, you got to humble yourself. That's hard to humble down to that level. But when you go before the Father, it'll help you a lot if you'll get in the position of a lily. I'm 100% depending on you to clothe me. Get in the position of the sparrow. I don't sow, reap, or lay up in barns. You can feed me, though. I get positioned as a little child. Cannot clothe my... When I go to the Father now, I can't clothe myself. I'm not talking about clothing. I'm talking about provision. I can't provide for myself. I depend on you now, Father. Why? The fact is I can with certain systems, but I'm trying to receive from Him. Amen? And to receive from Him, He don't want to compete with all the other systems in my life. Does that make sense to anybody? Do you hear that? If you don't get in that position with Him, He's not going to compete with all this other stuff. If you can do it, you're going to not need Him. He wants to do it for you. That's why He said, seek first the kingdom, and it's your Father's good pleasure to give it to you. Amen. Okay, so He said, believe you receive, right? Believe to receive as a little child, as a lily, as a sparrow or a dove. Anna's favorite is the dove. Receive as a dove. What? They don't sow nor reap, your Father's feeding them. Amen? Father's really good at providing. Look at your neighbor. He's really good. And say, Father, thank you. You're really good at it. Father, help me to get really good at receiving. The problem is not the providing end, it's the receiving end. Amen? More importantly, trying to get that spiritual inheritance down here. It's got to come through us. That's a big issue. In the gift realm, He doesn't do that. He just drops it through. Amen? But when He comes into receiving directly from the Father, which He's wanting us to learn, He's going to have to work with us. Amen? He's going to work through us. Now, so He said, if you ask the Father My name, and another writer didn't say that, even the Lord's Prayer when He's teaching on prayer, He never said, if you ask in My name. But here He's saying, you're going to have to ask in My name. So you ask in My name, and you'll receive it from the Father. Now go to chapter 14. He started all this. He says this. Ask in My name, ask in My name, ask in My name. Says it in 14, 15, and 16. Look at your neighbor and say, ask in the name. Notice what he says here in verse 13. It's very important to understand this. He didn't arbitrarily say this. It's very, very important to understand this. Verse 13, John 14, 13. And whatsoever, here you go again. Here's another whatsoever. Say whatsoever. Lord, help me get there. I'm going to get there tonight. Praise God. Whatsoever. Say whatsoever. 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 I like the way she said, whatsoever. Another open-ended. Who said that? Whatsoever. There you go. Whatsoever you ask. Now, it does have to be according to His will, which I'm going to get into tonight. If you ask anything according to My will, well, you're not asking according to His will.
you don't ask according to his will, he's not going to do it for you.
Believe me, the enemy will throw that up in your face. It's not the will of God for you to be doing this. He'll challenge you at every level. Why? He doesn't want you to ever understand there's a kingdom apart from his. He doesn't want you receiving from one. He wants to keep you in the struggle. It's kind of like the Matrix. He never wants you to understand. Don't take the blue pill. Don't get liberated. Amen. He was scared of those guys till he realized they had no authority over him whatsoever. Amen. Whatsoever you ask in my name, here it is, in my name, that will I do. This is the Lord speaking. I'll do this for you. That the Father may glorify the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Say, I will do it. He didn't say that in John 16. He said, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. But here he's saying, if you ask anything in my name, I what? Will do it for you. Say anything. Anything. I'm going to get into the whatsoevers and the anything. I'm going after them hard and heavy right now. I'm going to learn the whatsoevers and the anything because it's unlimited. It's huge. Okay, the Father gives it. The Lord does it. Two different operations. Ask and you will receive, then you shall have. God, the Lord's not going to do it until the Father gives it. Do you got that? If the Father doesn't give it, he can't do it. He is the doer. He's the manifester. He's the creator. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. All things were made by him. The Word was God. All things were what? Made. He is the original creator. He and the Holy Spirit works and they do the creative operations of God. But they're not going to create until you receive from the Father. Amen? So here we go. All right, now that's all review. Now I'm going to get you into, I knew this 3 years ago. It doesn't matter what you know, it's what you do. You can't imagine how the enemy fights these level, these operations. He is so skillful in unseating you from this stuff. Because some of you are like, what's the difference? You know, I got all, you don't know the difference because there's an unlimited kingdom out there. And it's going to come into the earth in a major way. Amen? Amen. So, I know it. I'm in there. I'm believing God. God gives me this little prayer assignment. He says, all right, let's start again. Let's do this again. He gives me an assignment. I'll be honest with you, it's just a little bill. I could actually pay it easily. I could do it. The Lord said, I don't want you paying for that. I don't want you paying for it. I don't want you doing anything. I want you to dedicate this to the Father. Let him do this. Seems easy enough, right? Except that he wants me to believe him to the exact penny for that without me doing it. Without me telling anybody what that exact penny is. How'd you like that assignment? And you know, since I've been praying, I've had a lot of breakthroughs. I had this inheritance from my grandmother that was, it was a lot bigger than this bill was. That was, and it would just pay it with that, pay it with that. I'm like, no, that's not what he said. Because, see, all that's coming in. But why is this so important? Because if I don't learn to believe and learn how to believe from the Father, I'm always going to be limited. And what I'm after is the unlimited now. And if I can't get into the unlimited realm, then I'm always going to be limited. And I'm tired of being limited. How many of you in here are tired of being limited? If I can get one realm like this, I can get into the whole realm because I understand how the Father does it. Amen? So I'm in this process, Father, I believe and I hold this up to him. You supply all money according to your riches and glory. I want this to be funded from the heavenly resources, Father. I hold this up, I believe I receive from you. And I'm 3 weeks into this, believing I receive, believing I receive. And I'm spending all this time plowing in prayer because I'm in the receiving mode, right? And God speaks to me yesterday. It's powerful. Listen to me. Get this. Get this. If you can get anything, get this. He says it to me. He says, son, it's in the name. He says, it's in the name. Now, he taught all this to me before, but I don't understand. He says, it's in the name. I said, I know it's in the name. He said, no, 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 no. It's in the name. You know, he tells me, he goes, go read. Has ever God ever told you to do that? Go read it again. Does he ever tell you, go read it again? So what I do, I go read John 16. I knew he was talking about John 16, so go over John 16. I said, I understand you'll do it. So right now, we're still trying to get this from the Father. Because once I get it, I know you'll do it. So we're still in this process. So I go back to John 16. So go back to John 16. But we're plowing into this right now. Because this is what he answered. I don't want to be a recipient of mammon. I understand how mammon works now. I've been at it a long time. I've seen mammon in the church. I've seen mammon in the world. I've been a product of mammon. I've seen mammon do a lot of stuff. And I want nothing. Mammon is the earthly riches that come from the earthly system. That's what mammon is. Amen. I want the kingdom now. I want the blessing of the Lord that make the rich without, maketh rich. Blessing of the Lord maketh the rich without toil, without labor. What's that? Is it the blessing? Without the sorrow. Say sorrow. Without the toil. See, God promised you a life with the Father. I want the life with the Father now. I want God to take us out there in the no man's land. Amen. I want to learn how to believe for a church facility without having to do it the world's way. John 16 says, it's all in the name. It's in the name. Go read it again. Go read it again. So we're going to read it again. And then it hit. Then I understood. Listen, this thing right here, I'm telling you, is night and day. It's everything in receiving. Listen, God is a God. He's a precise God. Listen, if you do things the way he says to do them, it's going to work. So I go back to this John 23. And in that day, say, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, what you'll ask the Father in my name, say, in my name, he will give it to you. And he finally said it to me. He says, you're trying to receive something from me that I have already put somewhere else. Are you listening to me? The Father giveth, but he's not giving out of himself. The Lord even said right back up in 16, he says, all that the Father has is been given to me. Everything is now in my name. Say all. And then all of a sudden it exploded. All the things he taught me in the past just panoramic exploded. And I realized, oh, I'm trying to receive from you, Father. And you're trying to tell me, receive, ask me, but you have to receive from what's in my name. Because it's not in the Father's name anymore. He gave it all to the Lord. It pleased the Father that in the Lord all fullness would dwell. God in sundry times and diverse manners spake to us by prophets, but now speak to us to his Son, of whom he has appointed heir of what? All things. Say all things. He said, all things are now mine. The Lord said that. All at the resurrection of Christ, the Father transferred ownership, heirship of everything to his Son. Appointed him heir of all things. Say all things. Worthy is the Lamb. And all these scriptures that have come out, I had them all listed. I was going to give you the notes on them. Like 15 different things I've recognized that's in and under the name of Jesus. It's all there. Say it's all there. He said, he blessed you with all spiritual. He blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He always adds in Christ. I supply all your needs according to his riches in glory that are what? In Christ. It's all about what's in Christ. It's all about what's in his name. It's what's in his name. Amen. Appointed heir of all things. Say all things. Whom he purged our sin when he sat down at the right hand of the Sunday. I'll give you these notes. When he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. But Matthew 26 said he sat down at the right hand of dunamis power. The right hand is full of dunamis. Where these landers receive all power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. All of that is under and in the name of Jesus. The Father transferred it. He said, son, you can sit here and believe me for the next 10 years and receive from me, but I put it all in the name. You're asking me to give you something that's in another name. It's like going to the attorney and said, I want you to give me this. And the attorney says, listen, I am the trustee of this account, but it's in this name. I don't have it. It's in that trust. I'm authorized to transact on the behalf of this trust, but you can't receive it from me. You got to receive it from the trust. I'm authorized to do the transaction. The Father says, if you ask in my name, the Lord says, you're going to have to ask the Father in my name. And you're going to have to believe that you receive. Now listen, this is huge. Lord help us. Lord help us. He says, believe to receive from my name. So what he did is he moved me, rocked to the name. He says, now you receive from that name. You ask in my name, you receive from my name. So, your neighbor say, what's in the name? What's in the name? What's in your wallet? Your neighbor say, what's in your wallet? What's in the name? Because a lot of people will say, well, I ask in the name. We simply, Father, I ask you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's not what he's saying. You ask for what's in the name. You have to know what's in the name to ask for what's in the name. I break this heaviness over this place. We will hear the word of God. We will receive the word of God. We will walk in the fullness of mysteries of the kingdom of God. We will understand how to transact with our Father. What's the Father transacting in? He's transacting in the name of Jesus. Why? He put it all there. Father, I thank you for the name of Jesus. I thank you for all the inheritance that's in this name. Lord, I thank you. You've laid it up. I pray to you, Father. I believe to receive it from his name, from where you put it. See that? Now, go to this chapter. Go to 1 John 5. Okay, 1 John 5, verse 13. See, when you plow in the new things, you have to allow the Holy Ghost to open that operation for you. Amen? Okay. So 1 John 5. It's amazing. Look at verse 13. It says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay? Now we're talking about the name, right? That we may know that we have eternal life. Okay, you believe on the name of the Son of God and you're born again. Raise your hand. You got eternal life. Okay? And then there's an and there. So how many of you know what and means? That means and. And there's going to be, okay, now we know we're born again, but then there's an and. Look at the and. A-N-D. And. He says, so these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. We know that we have eternal life and that we may believe, say believe, on the name of the Son of God. On the name. Say on the name. All right. So then he goes, and this is the confidence to those who believe on the name of the Son of God that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever, here we go, there's another whatsoever. We ask, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of him because we're believing on his name and we understand what's in his name. And we ask anything according to his will. Here we go. We have to ask according to his will. What was the Lord's prayer? Father, thy will be done on the earth as it is done in heaven. Is the will, I'm going to ask you something, listen to me. Is the will of the Father accomplished in heaven? Everyone said yes. That's your cue to say yes. Is the will of the Father, because he said, Father, thy will be done on the earth as it is done in heaven. You must understand that the will of the Father has been accomplished in heaven. Completed. When Jesus said, it's finished, it's done. Say, it's done. It's completed. Who completed it? The Lord completed it. When did he complete it? At his death. This weekend, he does it all over again. Death, burial, resurrection. Say, death, burial, resurrection. In his resurrection, the Father completed the will. He appointed him heir of all things and accomplished all things. Restored everything that Adam lost. It was completed in the right hand of God. The will of the Father was completed. Say completed. Brought the completion.
Lo, in the volume the book is written of me. I come, Father, to do thy will. I am the final offering. For by one offering they are forever perfected. Say forever perfected. He perfected it with one offering. It's finished. Listen, the Father's will has been accomplished in heaven. God the Father operates from a finished position, a finished work. So when you're praying, thy will to be done on the earth, it's already been done in heaven. If you ask anything, now get this, ready? Are you ready? If you ask anything according to his will that's already been accomplished in the name of Jesus, it will be done for you. Let me say it again. If you ask the Father for anything according to his will that's already been accomplished in the right hand of God, in the name of Jesus, it will be done for you. The Father's will has been accomplished when Christ received the inheritance in the right hand of God. And if you ask anything that's in his name that's already been accomplished in his name, it'll be done for you. So, we have to identify what's in the name. Because if we don't identify what's in the name, how can we pray? Because God's will has been accomplished in Christ, and he put it in his name. In other words, God's will for the provision of all humanity has been put in the name of Jesus. My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ. That's his will for every single need on planet earth. It's been accomplished in heaven. It's got to get to the earth. But its will, it's already in his name. God's will for our healing is in his name. God's will for our wholeness is in his name. God's will for the future crown is in his name. God's will for anything we'll ever need, desire, want is in his name. Already purchased. God's will for the nations is in his name. He says, I will set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Psalm 2 said this. Ask of me, son, the nations for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Acts 13:33 specifically says that was speaking of the resurrection of Christ when the Father resurrected him and brought him before him and said, now ask me for the world, son, for the salvation of the world is your inheritance. Ask me for the uttermost parts of the earth, son. It's your inheritance. He's talking about Christ. We're part of that. Salvation of the nations. It's all accomplished in the name. You see that? So if I ask anything according to that name, I'm asking according to his will. If I'm asking according to his will, I know he hears me. If I know he hears me, I know I have the petition I desire. Why? Because he's honoring what? The name. Say the name. He's honoring the name. Look at your neighbor said, the name. The name. He's honoring the name that the Father may be glorified through the Son. We have to learn to receive from the name. We transact from the name. We receive from the name. That's where it's coming from. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Where? In Christ's name. The Father's transacting through the name. That's where he transacts from. That's when we believe we receive from that name. We have to have a revelation what's in it. When we know what's in it, we can receive from it. Isn't that glorious? The revelation, the inheritance is in a heavenly trust account. Look at it like that. Put above the enemy, he can never get it, but it belongs to you. You get the opportunity by faith. We have come there for boldness to the throne of grace. Having the boldness to enter into the holiest of all with a new and the living way, having the full assurance of faith, we get to go and transact with what belongs to us. Isn't that glorious? That's what he's offering. Come and believe me. I know there's a system that'll do it for you there. I know there are a million things there. But come and put first the kingdom of God. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you. But ask in faith. Do not disconnect from the Father. Learn to receive from a kingdom that's not of this world. Learn to transact in the name of Jesus. Do not waver. Do not stagger. Do not back up or draw back. Hallelujah. For a double-minded man whose loyalty is divided between the world and God, world, God, world, God, you will not receive from heaven. Hearts in the world one day, in God the next day, in the world one day. Oh, what's the use? I don't know how to do this. And you go back to the world. That's a divided heart. It's a divided loyalty. He will not receive anything. Stay with it until you learn to receive, until... And that, those things that the enemy requires you spend a lifetime paying for, God gives you freely. The enemy will give it to you, but you've got to spend a lifetime paying for it. That's his system. That's how the world system operates. God says, I will freely give it. Freely, say freely. He that spared not his only son, how shall he not through his name freely give you all things? Even the children of Israel was telling them, come out from the wilderness. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you cities and homes you did not build. I'm going to fill them with all good things you didn't fill them with. I'm going to give you olive yards and vineyards and wells that you did not drink from. And what was their response? Let us go back to Egypt. Let us go back to making straw and bricks. Let us go back. At least we know where our provision's coming from, the work of our hand. Let us go back. You know how many times they wanted to go back? After God the Father was saying, listen, I don't know, am I providing for you here? I have an abundant land for you. There's giants in the land, but I'm going to show you how to drive them out. I have something for you that's far greater than Pharaoh himself. And you want to go back to that system? Don't ever estimate that system. It has a pull and a draw that does not want to let go. Do you want the next 5 years looking like the last 5 years? You know, the next 10 years, if we don't learn to do this, I promise you, we've been at this long enough. We know how this stuff works. Our next 10 years are going to look like our last 10 if we do not get this right. God put these mysteries in this church because he wants us to understand how to open the heavens and receive from an unlimited kingdom. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. It's all in the name. When you pray, believe to receive from his name. That's what the Father's going to honor. I ask the Father, when I believe to receive it, Father, grant me from his name. See, as I honor the Son, the Father will be glorified in the Son. He'll transfer the inheritance, spiritual, from the name. Once he authorizes the transference, the Lord said, now I will do this thing for you. Now I'm going to do it. And you're going to see this in this church. You're going to see us break the power of mammon. You're going to see us break the systems of this world. God is going to break it in this church. I'm telling you, he's going to liberate us. We're going to see full-age sons walking around in inheritance. Amen. He's going to do it. I'm telling you, this is what we're being trained for. He's not going to let us do it another way. We've already tried. Trust me, we've tried. God is not going to let us do it no way but Yahweh. That's it. His way. Amen? When we get this thing right, oh my, the liberation of the sons and daughters of God. Liberated from a system that tells you, you have to work all your life and toil all your life for this stuff. You got to get up and go to a job you don't want to go to. And you got to do things until all your life. And God says, I'm going to give you a kingdom. I know it sounds like pie in the sky, but it's not. It's reality. It's a kingdom that has to be accessed and received. Amen.